Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
You always think I'm somewhere on a mountaintop, but never think behind bars. You'd be amazed the places that I'd go. To be with you, where you are. So forget what you've heard, what you think that you know. There's a lot about me that's never been told. I'm more than you dream, more than you understand. Your days and your times, we're destined.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into the book of Acts. We're picking up the story while Peter is walking up the gate beautiful, and there's a man that's begging there, and he tells him to just get up and, you know, I don't have any gold or silver, but get up. And
yeah.
he gets up. And I'll tell you what, that's the kind of miracles we need today. Get people's eyes opened. And what an exciting thing that must have been for people who were there that knew this man who was by the gate, beautiful. And they were in wonder. And while the beggar held on to Peter and John, so maybe you need a little help for a minute there. Get a little steady.
Maybe he
wasn't sure. All the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. This is the place where believers used to meet and share after the resurrection of Jesus. And here, this beggar was begging on the steps, and man, he gets healed. And John and Peter are helping him for a moment there. They're holding on. He's holding on to them, probably for dear life.
Yeah. Just excited that he can stand and jump and praise God, and yet also, you know, hey, it's the first time he's ever walked, so he may have been a little wobbly at first there, but holding on, you know, just an exciting moment to see.
Yeah, he's running.
Yeah.
And who knows, he's probably a little tired maybe after he ran, I don't know, but anyway, he's doing that, and when Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Now, that's an amazing statement when you think about it. It should surprise you when somebody's healed like that. You know, it should be surprising. But he's saying, why? Why are you so surprised at this? Yeah. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? And I think that that's probably a better statement there. So they're staring at Peter and John, wondering what kind of people these are. So he say, why does this surprise you? It's not us. Not us.
I wonder what was going on in Peter's mind. You know, for three and a half years, he saw some incredible miracles.
Yeah,
he saw Jesus just raise the dead, heal people, you know, lame, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, people that couldn't talk talking. He saw some incredible miracles.
I mean, he walked on water when Jesus said, come.
He walked on water. That's right.
I mean, talk about walking on water. That's amazing.
It's a miracle. And so I wonder, does seeing them, you know, did they just become commonplace? Was he just, this is the normal thing?
That's true.
You know, I don't know if that's what he's saying there, but miracles seem to have been a vibrant part. I don't know if it happened before Jesus. I haven't looked into the history of the miracles, but Jesus even said, hey, you guys cast out demons.
Yeah.
So there was stuff that was happening supernaturally. And I think as a missionary, you may have seen some miracles that happen around the world, and where there isn't a lot of, you know, money or whatever, maybe people have that faith in God to believe for the miracles, and maybe they're more prevalent. I don't know, but today it's a little bit less common.
It isn't, but I think Peter's real point that he's making here is that he wants to let people know that it's not by their power.
No.
Not by their godliness. And sometimes we have a tendency to tell people, well, you have to have real good character before you can work for Jesus. And we know what happens when you don't have good character and you work for Jesus. That's not a good sign.
Right.
But the idea is that the gifts are without repentance.
Right.
And when the gifts are working through a person's life, we find in history, even in the Old Testament, some of the great prophets, some of the kings, some of the real good people in the Old Testament, they had some bad times. They did some bad things. And some people have a character flaw, and yet God overlooks it and uses the gifts because that person can't say that, hey, he did it. And then there's some people that get this, well, I'm really, really holy. And that kind of person, God probably won't use him, but for sure, he thinks God's using him.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And Peter brings it back to, this is a supernatural thing.
Supernatural.
It's divine. You know, it's God. It's not us.
Yeah, because the man, they knew he couldn't walk. They'd seen him there forever. And all of a sudden, not only like you say, he's walking, he's jumping, he's praising God. It says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I really like the way he ties this together with Israel's concept of the past, right? You know your history.
Yeah.
The God of Abraham, you know the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. So all honor is going to the Father.
Right.
All honor is going to the Father. And he's saying that God has glorified God through his servant Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he's going to nail him.
It always comes back to Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
And whenever you mention the name of Jesus,
all kinds of hell breaks
loose. Stuff happens.
Yeah. So now Peter is going to get him. And he says, it's all because of this wonderful, wonderful servant of the Father.
Right.
His name is Jesus. And you handed him over to be killed and disowned before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. Wow. He says the Romans were going to let him go, but you Jewish people, you didn't do it.
Yeah. I read those words. It's interesting. My wife and I just went down to Washington, D.C., and we toured the Holocaust Museum.
Oh,
and
hard to get through there, isn't it?
It was an incredible, walk that we took. And one of the things, one of the videos we watched said it's because of anti-Semitism, and they bring it back to this.
Wow. This has caused the anti-Semitism.
The Christians blamed the Jews for killing their Savior, Jesus.
Yeah.
And that kind of created the whole anti-Semitic movement. And I saw a book, and I started thumbing through the book, and I'm like, wow. And listen, the church did not do well throughout church history. You can read about it and all that stuff. But I'm so glad that today
we understand.
We understand that. But in the context of this moment right here,
this is what he's saying.
The Roman governor had said, "I find no fault with this guy.
Know.
He's free. He's innocent." And yet they coerce the crowd to say, "Crucify him." And so there's a little bit of blame to hand. But it was all in God's plan so that everybody, Jew and Gentile, could be set free. So regardless of what happened, God had a plan and a purpose to set mankind free, which is so far beyond our thinking. And it's so beautiful to see that God's working to set you free.
Yeah. And in reality, the only person who could make atonement for the sins of all the people of Israel was the high priest.
Right.
Was the very high priest, that one person. He had to be Jewish.
Right.
So here, Jesus, he becomes truly the high priest, and he offers his own blood as sacrifice and brings atonement to all of mankind, not just Judaism, but it had to be. It had to be a Jew. It had to be someone who was of the holy priesthood. Jesus is in this particular line of priests, and so he is in the perfect position. God knew that, and so we say, well, the Romans did it; they put him on a cross, but the Jews are the one who made the decision. But in all reality, like you said, this was the way that it had to be in God's in God's timetable. It had to be a Jewish person. It had to be someone in the line, and it had to be a priest. And he dies, and he takes and that blood covers and forgives sins. It's just an amazing story. You can't make it up.
And I love what Jesus. We talk about that verse, John 10. Where I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But I don't think we think about the other verse in there where he says, "I lay my life down because I have the power to take it back up again." So you can't blame the Romans. You can't blame the Jews. Jesus decided when he was going to die and when he was going to come back to life. So it was really his choice.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
And it was he was following the will of God for the salvation of mankind. And so you disown the holy and righteous one. Peter, again, railing on the Israelites that he's talking to. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked a murderer be released to you. That's Barabbas,
Right. they missed it. They could have been a part of, I don't know if it could have played out any differently. I really don't. I mean, it could have in some way, but we can't sit here and ask those questions. But he's trying to get them to think and to really understand that God is working and moving and doing some things. Look at this miracle that just happened. It shouldn't surprise you because that's what God does.
Yeah.
God does miracles.
Yeah.
And even though you did this, he's still going to do this.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's quite interesting, too. I mean, when you do some study on it and you look at the murderer that's let go is named Barabbas, and Barabbas is son of the father. And it's an interesting, this is name, just like Bar-Jonah, it's son of Jonah. And so Barabbas is the son of father. And so here, it's interesting that the Son of the Father is released, and it's a release of all mankind, if you will. We're children of God, and it's a release of all mankind. And it's just kind of like, how can that work out like that? The guy's got the right name.
Give us Barabbas.
He got the right name. So the freedom that comes to we who were murderers, we who were unrighteous, are free because we're sons of the Father. We're children of the Father. It's just amazing. It's just way too... Either you got to be really a great novelist or you have to be really creative because it just weaves together wonderfully.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so he says, you killed the author of life. Now, that's a little bit strong statement. You killed the author of life.
Yeah.
But God raised him from the dead. Now, that right there is a mouthful.
Yeah.
He's the author of life, and you killed him.
You know, you think about what John wrote. In the beginning was the Word, and in him was the light of men, and that's life. And Jesus said, I am the life, you know, and you come to me. And it's all about the life. And here Peter's just, he's poking at him.
I'm gonna
nail you one more time.
How much more can you nail him when you say you take the author of life and you kill him? but you can't kill him because God raises him from the dead.
Right.
We are witnesses of this too. And I think that's one of the powerful statements because you can declare a lot of things, but we've experienced this. We have witnessed the resurrection.
Yeah.
We have seen Jesus alive, and you killed him, but he's not dead. He's alive.
He's alive, you know? And so there's the good news, is that he died, and he rose again. And so what a powerful testimony to the miraculous power of God. You think this is good, just healing a man who can now walk around.
Amazing.
You guys killed the author of life.
Yeah.
And this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought him back to life.
Can't stop him.
That's miraculous.
That is. And they were witnesses. And by faith in the name of Jesus, now he's preaching the gospel, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong.
Right.
It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's the powerful message that you see this man, he couldn't move, he couldn't walk, couldn't everything, but it's this Jesus. And he tells you the gospel story on how Jesus was the author of life, and he came, he died, but he rose from the dead, and it is him who healed this man right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor with you. You know, I was just down in D.C., and all over the place, there's these people begging for money.
Really?
They're all
in
the Capitol.
That's because there's money there.
There's money there. And so they're standing on the corners. They've got little cups, you know, they're doing whatever. And so many intersections had people begging for money.
I'm surprised.
And here's this guy begging for money. And Peter says, hey, look at me. And this guy turns going, all right, I'm going to get some cash. This guy wants to talk. I'm gonna lay it on thick for this guy so he knows exactly what's going on. And he says, listen, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. And then he says, by faith, something in this guy's mind and heart was triggered when Peter said, rise up in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe he had heard about Jesus, you know, three and a half years, all the stuff that Jesus was doing.
Yeah.
And maybe he heard Jesus had died, but here comes Peter saying, in the name of Jesus and the same authority of Jesus, I'm telling you, get up and walk. And the guy must have felt something, and he jumped up. Oh, to have that connection to God the Father, to be able to look into somebody's eyes and just to say that in the name of Jesus, do this.
Yeah, and Peter's talking to the crowd and saying, if you have this kind of same kind of faith, if you have the faith in the name of Jesus, that's what he's saying. If you have this kind of faith in this name of Jesus, you may have looked at Jesus as somebody who was evil or destructive or a blasphemer, but he wasn't. He was the author of life, and that's the guy you've got to have faith in.
That's it, and I want that complete healing.
I like
healing.
That, too.
That's a good word.
It is. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. So he's softening it up a little.
Yeah.
And as did your leaders. He softens it up a lot.
Yeah.
He really kind of making it easy for him. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Now, all you have to do is know a little bit about the Old Testament, and you know people were looking for the Messiah.
Right.
They were all looking for him. And here he's telling them that all this, you've been looking for this Messiah, and God foretold that he was going to have to suffer.
Yeah.
And here he did suffer. You know, he died. He died, but he rose. But he said, so then he said, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that time of refreshings may come from the Lord.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a powerful thing. And sometimes in your life, when you're feeling like you know that you've done something you shouldn't do, you said something you shouldn't say, it really brings you into a depression, into a spiral. You start going down. You start feeling terrible about yourself. Here he says simply, just repent so that your sins can be forgiven.
Yep.
And then a time of refreshing comes from the Lord. So that's wonderful. You know, from this bottomless pit, you start rising up because you have received this love and forgiveness in Christ.
Well, if somebody were to tell me that I had just killed the author of life.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and
I didn't think about that. That's true.
You know, and that I had just done something that I shouldn't have done. And then, okay, I know what you did, but you did it in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. You know, Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. So Peter's just saying, I know you didn't know what you were doing. You thought you were doing the better thing, the good thing, whatever. He said, you know what? God had orchestrated it. And there was a purpose behind all of it. And Christ took that suffering, like you said, just a little while ago. And he's the only one that could. There's no other person that could have done that. And he said, because of all that, here's God's plan for you. You can be lifted out of that darkness. You can be brought out of depression, out of anxiety, out of worry, out of fear. And you can have a refreshing. Your heart, just that word refreshing, you know, you think about on a hot summer's day, a cold glass of water, or spring, the flowers blooming, just that refreshing. I just love that word to remind you that can happen to you on the inside, like it happened to this guy on the outside. I mean, he was on the inside with the muscles and the bones and all that stuff.
But he was rejoicing and refreshed.
He was refreshed.
And he goes on and he says, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, that Jesus, the plan of God was that Jesus would come and he would die for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. So we know that Jesus is going to return again and he's going to restore everything and he's going to repair everything. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Oh, now that's a wonderful statement right there, because here's the idea is that if you're not listening to Jesus, who are you listening to?
Exactly.
If you're listening to the prophets of this world, the worldly prophets, you're going to find yourself in deep trouble. But if you listen to Jesus, you'll get that refreshing.
Refreshed.
Pastor Tim was talking about it. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, be refreshed. Listen to Jesus.